How do you do? We all say and do things that other people sometimes misunderstand because they don't see the motives. That's why someone wisely counseled, "See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." The woman in this story found that advice easier to follow when her heart and mind and life were unshackled.
I love these drives up the mountain to watch the sunset. Don't you, Pat?
Yes.
Not much traffic tonight. But we should have our favorite spot all to ourselves.
Yes.
Is something wrong?
No.
You don't seem yourself.
I'm fine.
I can tell something's wrong. Do you want to go back down the mountain or stay here?
Whatever you want to do is fine.
Pat, I'd wish you'd tell me what's troubling you.
Nothing.
Something is wrong.
I don't think you love me. Here's your ring.
You're breaking our engagement?
Yes.
Proclaiming the way, the truth, and the life, this is Unshackled. True life stories dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Homeless people come to Pacific Garden Mission seeking shelter, a safe place to spend the night. Every day, 1,000 men, women, and children come through the doors that never close. Thanks to generous friends who send financial gifts, the old lighthouse offers showers and fresh clothing, as well as a place to sleep and nourishing meals. Even medical treatment is provided to resident guests in the mission clinic. Mission pastors and counselors share the bread of life with every guest, the truth that can make them free. Most have never met the one who offers them new life. He said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." And that same message of hope goes out to the world in 14 languages through this program. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3326 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
I didn't expect you to cry about this, Wayne. I'm sorry.
I was jilted 5 years ago. I can't believe it's happening again. I thought you loved me.
I do love you. I was just testing you.
Testing me?
I wanted to see how angry you'd get.
What?
My father was so brutal when he got angry. I didn't want to marry someone like that.
Well, I'll show you how angry I can get. I'm going to spank you for pulling a stunt like that.
The woman in our story was warned to keep secret an injustice she endured in the army. But she wanted the truth to be told as a caution to others. This is the true testimony of Patricia Lawrence, right now on Unshackled.
My fiancé Wayne actually pulled me over his knee that night and spanked me for my deceptive trick, a painful experience for both of us. I loved him so much, this man I had known for only 3 months, who was 13 years older than I, and so kind to my disabled cousins. I had moved to Los Angeles from Missouri and was living with my aunt and uncle. I was 20 years old.
I'm sorry I did that to you, Wayne.
Don't ever do something like that again.
I won't, I promise. Do you still want to marry me?
Yes, of course. I love you.
I love you too, Wayne.
Do you want a big wedding?
Yes. Two of my brothers are in the Navy, and I'd like them to usher and wear their uniforms. I'm so proud of them.
I'd like to invite our disabled friends from the sports club.
Wonderful. I love the way you take care of them, including them in things we do and taking them places.
I want to buy us a house before we marry, and furniture.
We can get married in my aunt and uncle's church. Let's talk with the pastor and set a date.
Is going to church important to you, Pat?
Yes. I'm searching for God.
Gave up on that years ago.
We never went to church at home, but I know God is real, and I want to know him.
I admire you for that. Maybe I'll go with you this Sunday.
Born with a twin brother, I had grown up in a family of 10 children, but not a Christian home. We lived on a farm in Missouri and had to work hard. My father was strict and physically abusive, and Mom was too overworked to spend much time with us individually. I tried so hard to please her, but seemed to fail. Wayne's love filled my heart with joy, especially when he decided to go to church with me.
Speaking centuries ago through the prophet Hosea, God said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And it's still true today. People don't know God, and they're destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Yes, yes.
They don't know that God is love.
Yes.
That he created us to have abundant life.
He did.
That he has a purpose for everyone. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God because of our enemy, the devil, who is out to destroy us. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. All this is explained in God's manual for life, the Holy Bible. How God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for our sins.
Amen.
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Yes.
You can trust him with your life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Praise.
It's not about religion, folks. It's about relationship. Having a real relationship with the Lord who loves you and gave himself for you. The Bible says, "He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" If you would like to begin that relationship today, come forward and repent of your sins and ask Jesus to save you.
Pat, I'm going up there.
While I wavered in faith, preoccupied with my own issues, Wayne walked forward and professed faith in Christ that day, 3 weeks before our wedding. On the big day of our marriage, the front row of the church held 9 honored guests in wheelchairs. After our honeymoon at Lake Mead in Nevada, we returned home and moved into our home in Burbank. We had been married 6 weeks when I, too, received Christ as my Savior.
Amazing, isn't it, Pat? Like a ton of bricks off your shoulders.
Being saved? Yes. Suddenly, it all made sense.
What?
The goofy things I did all my life. Trying to be noticed, trying to please others.
You didn't know any better.
Now I see why my dad was so abusive. He doesn't know God.
And your mom?
She did the best she could under the circumstances.
Yeah, very magnanimous of you, Pat. She held a gun to your head.
She wanted me to have a miscarriage.
That's so wrong.
Yes, God gave us a conscience so we'd know right from wrong. That's how I knew instinctively abortion is wrong. It kills the unborn child.
You made the right choice, Pat.
I hope we have a baby soon, Wayne.
Me too. We'll raise our children to know the Lord.
What was that verse the pastor quoted from the Bible?
Something about the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life.
Through Jesus Christ.
Wayne and I were active in our church. We taught young teens on Sunday evening. We took them on field trips and invited them into our home for fellowship gatherings. I sang in the choir, and we grew in faith. Because of the difference in our ages, we wanted to have children right away. But I had 3 miscarriages the first year we were married. Disheartened, we talked with our pastor.
Have you eliminated any physical barriers to pregnancy?
Yes.
What does your doctor say, Pat?
He's putting me on thyroid medicine. Maybe that will help.
Good.
My uncle and aunt had 2 girls who were healthy and 2 boys who were disabled. Maybe the Lord was protecting us.
Maybe. God says in Isaiah chapter 55, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts."
I guess it's better not to speculate, huh?
Yes. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Maybe God is punishing me for my sinful life before I was saved.
No, Pat, no. Psalm 103 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." And Romans chapter 8 promises, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit."
All we can do is pray then.
Prayer is very powerful, Wayne. Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Finally, a daughter was born to us on Christmas Day, nearly 2 years after we married. What a gift from the Lord. Over the next few years, we had two more daughters.
When I told Mom we had another daughter, she said it was too bad we didn't have a son.
What did you tell her?
That I like girls.
Well, my mom is after me to go out and get a job to help support the family.
Tell her you're a stay-at-home mother.
I did.
Honey, if you worked, we'd have to pay for childcare, and we'd pay higher taxes, and we'd have to buy another car.
I wouldn't earn enough to make it worthwhile.
Stand your ground, Pat. I'll tell her to let you alone.
Thanks.
Are you dissatisfied, honey?
Not at all. I love being your wife and the mother of our children.
I went to school activities, made home-cooked meals for my family, and sewed clothing for the girls to wear to school. We were immature in our faith and drifted away from regular church attendance as we busied ourselves with raising our family. Wayne's job was demanding and took us to 4 different areas in California, but he always made sure we had a church home. We just weren't as faithful as we should have been. We sent our girls to church, read our Bibles, and tried to be a good witness in the community, but we were not passionate in our faith. God warns in Revelation chapter 3, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." We would reap what we sowed.
In a moment, we'll hear how this affected Pat's family. Now, though, here's Pacific Garden Missions President, Phil Kwiatkowski.
Thanks, Timothy. We love hearing from listeners, like this woman who writes, "I've been listening to Unshackled for many years now in Houston, and I'm always so blessed by it." She adds, "I always enjoy the newsletter PGM puts out." We also get many letters from inmates in prison who listen to Unshackled, and we'd like to share some with you. A prisoner in Oklahoma writes, "Until a few months ago, we had regular visits from pastors in the area. They brought Unshackled booklets that gave us encouragement." Another inmate in a different state writes, "Unshackled has helped me turn my life around." And this prisoner in Texas writes, "If we as a nation understood the true power of prayer, there would not be a National Day of Prayer because every day would be a day of prayer." This man in North Carolina writes, "Unshackled has really touched my heart. You have been an inspiration to me." We hope you write soon. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
When our girls were 6, 7, and 8, we took in foster girls, troubled teenagers. They were wards of the state, removed from their families because of abuse they had suffered. I love those girls as if they were my own. Most were from broken homes, but some came from group homes. Some stayed only a few days. One stayed for 3 years. When our oldest daughter turned 12, we talked about my past.
Mommy, were you really a soldier in the Army?
Yes, honey. Not very long, though. Before I met your daddy, I spent about 8 weeks in basic training.
Was it hard?
Yes, but I loved having structure and order in my life.
Lots of orders.
Yes, lots of orders.
If you liked it, why didn't you stay in the Army?
Well, there's something I want to tell you. I made a big mistake that I don't want you to make when you're older.
What?
One night, I went on a double date with another soldier, and I had a drink. I don't remember anything after that, where we went, or how I got back to the barracks.
How can that be?
I think my date put some drugs in my drink. It made me lose my memory.
That's terrible.
Yes, it is. But it still happens today.
Did something bad happen?
Yes. 2 weeks later, I fainted in formation and learned I was pregnant. That's why I had to leave the Army.
What happened to the baby?
Some of my family members wanted me to have an abortion, but I knew that was wrong. So I went to a Christian home for unmarried mothers.
And you left the baby there?
No, a Christian couple adopted him. So you have a big brother somewhere.
I do?
Yes.
I want to see him sometime.
I haven't seen him since he was born. They wouldn't even let me hold him. They said it was better not to get attached to him.
How old is he now, Mommy?
He's 15. I'm telling you all this because I don't want you ever to date a boy whose birthday is the same as his. I don't want you to accidentally fall in love with your own brother, okay?
Okay.
Whenever a boy asks you for a date, the first thing you should ask him is, when were you born?
Mommy, I love you so very much.
I love you too, honey. And I loved my son, too. So much, I wanted him to live.
Revealing the truth kept other family members from telling distorted versions of my past. As my other daughters became teenagers, I explained the same thing to them. Our oldest daughter graduated from high school as valedictorian and received a full scholarship to college in Iowa. But her boyfriend was a problem. That's when our hearts turned back to God.
What do you think about Penny wearing Jason's class ring?
I don't like it because he's not a Christian. He's involved in a cult.
I don't know much about their beliefs, but Jesus said, I and my Father are one.
I feel responsible, Wayne. We've been lackadaisical about our faith.
I guess you're right.
We don't go to church on a regular basis.
We'll change, Pat.
I'm going to read the Bible every day from now on. And I'm going to ask her to give his ring back when she leaves for college. Listen to this, Wayne. I always knew life begins at conception, and God confirms it here in Genesis chapter 18. The Lord is telling Abraham how he's going to give Sarah a son. He says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Appointed time, according to the time of life.
I never thought about that.
Me neither. Read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching.
That's pretty clear. We've been remiss, and it's our responsibility to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
We failed our daughter.
It's not too late, Pat.
Followers of the cult religion pursued our daughter in college, and she joined them. I went to our pastor for counseling, and he suggested I write a letter telling Penny that I loved her nonetheless and to pray that her eyes would be opened. I read a book that exposed their false teaching and also read the Bible faithfully. When Penny came home for Christmas, I slipped my letter into her Bible. She went to a conference with members of the cult and realized that their teaching didn't make sense. Then I asked her to read a book about this cult. She read in the backyard for an hour.
Mom, I've read enough. I don't like what they teach.
What will you do?
I want to go to church with you and Dad on Sunday. I believe Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life.
That Sunday, Penny publicly renounced the cult and asked our church to reinstate her. Everyone had been praying for her. Then she decided to go to Bible college, where she met and married a strong Christian. Our other daughters also graduated and then married. 4 years later, while driving to a Bible study, I had a terrible accident.
You remember what happened, Pat?
A dog ran out in front of me.
And you hit the brakes.
Too hard, I guess.
Yes, you lost control of the car. Slammed into the windshield and the car hit the curb on the other side of the road.
Thank God I didn't hit another car.
Oh, for sure. You didn't have your seatbelt on, did you?
No.
Well, I'm glad you weren't killed, Pat.
I remember some people helping me.
They said you got out of the car and you were bleeding badly from your head wound, so they applied pressure till the ambulance got there.
My chest hurts the most.
Yeah, well, you slammed into the steering wheel and broke 7 ribs.
What about the car?
It was totaled, honey.
When I got out of the hospital 4 days later, Wayne ordered a hospital bed with a monkey bar so I could pull myself up. Even so, healing took 5 weeks. After I recovered, I overworked around the house and hurt so much, I became depressed. I lay in bed that night asking God to take me home. Instead, God inspired me to write a poem that proclaims His sufficiency is enough. In 1990, Wayne and I traveled through many states and were drawn to Las Cruces, New Mexico. We built a home there, sold our house in California, and moved to Las Cruces. Several years passed.
Oh, here you are. I was looking for you.
I love to sit out here on the patio and talk to God.
Are you writing a letter?
No, a poem about my son.
Oh, can I read it?
When it's finished. Mother's Day is coming up, and I always feel kind of sad.
I'm sorry, honey.
I went through the labor, but never held him in my arms. That's how the poem starts.
Maybe you should keep trying to find him.
I haven't given up. If it's the Lord's will, I'll find him.
I knew my son's name and had been looking for him for more than 3.5 years. I found him the night before Mother's Day. I cannot describe my feelings when I called and heard his voice for the first time. I told him who I was and why I had called.
Yes, they told me I was adopted.
I've always wanted to tell you the circumstances of your birth and that I've missed you so much over the years.
I'm glad to hear that. I've always wondered about you, too. I used to wonder why. What was wrong with me?
Nothing. It was because I loved you that I had to let you go. I kept looking for you, wishing I could meet you.
I'm married with 2 daughters and doing fine.
Oh, thank God I found you.
Just talking with my son eased the emptiness in my heart. Later that year, Wayne and I were working in the garage when he grabbed his neck in pain. I knew it was his heart and rushed him to the doctor. An EKG confirmed his condition was serious.
Hello?
Penny, your dad had a heart attack.
Is he all right?
He's in the hospital in town, but he needs bypass surgery, so they're taking him by ambulance to El Paso.
Oh, thank God he's okay.
So far, he's not out of the woods yet.
How did you know it was a heart attack, Mom?
Well, maybe the Lord gave me understanding. I called his doctor, and she told me to bring him in.
I'll call my sisters if you like.
Okay. And ask the church to pray for him.
After the bypass surgery and 5 days in ICU, the staff had trouble getting Wayne to breathe when they took him off the respirator. Finally, they managed to get him breathing on his own. But while he recuperated in the cardiac unit, he coughed so much the wiring in his chest detached, and he needed surgery to repair that. I made a 100-mile round trip each day to visit him.
You look tired, Pat.
I had to stay up late to do some things in the house after I left here.
I'm always glad to see you, but it's a long drive.
I wish they'd let me visit longer than 15 minutes at a time. Did you tell them to limit me?
Never. I'll be glad when I'm home again to stay.
The pastor's going to visit you and the church is praying for you.
Thank them for me. If only I hadn't gotten that infection. How many times are they going to open my chest?
The Lord will see us through this, honey.
Wayne was in the hospital in Las Cruces and El Paso 4 different times for a total of 64 days, 18 of them in ICU. Driving back and forth and taking care of our home drained me, but Wayne was in good hands. I always kissed him before I left and told him I loved him. See you in the morning, I'd say. Morning is still coming for me.
Hello?
He's gone. Penny.
Oh, no.
Your father is with the Lord. The nurse called at 3:30 in the morning to say he wasn't doing well. I wish they called sooner.
Were you with him at the end?
No.
He went quickly. His heart just stopped.
I'll come right away, Mom.
I've been a widow nearly 20 years, still active in church. After Wayne's death, I began giving my testimony at Christian women's gatherings. I try to help young girls avoid the heartache I went through.
When my middle daughter was in college, she brought home a friend who was pregnant and not married. I told her my story and suggested she tell her parents, who embraced the situation. That girl married the father of her baby, and they're still married 30 years later. God loves you, and Jesus Christ came to save you, whatever the situation. God says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert."
Listening friend, is anything too hard for the Lord? The one who created the heavens and the earth also gave his life to save you. Because the penalty for sin is death, eternal separation from God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. In John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Friend, eternal life begins the moment you receive Christ as Savior. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. This is program number 3326. Heard in part two of the true story of Patricia Lawrence were Caitlin Collins, Marcy Mencotti, Jeff Lupitan, Steve Bayorgen, and Natalie Berg. Original music, Scott Griffin. Sound, Nadine Aloysio Sorensen. Engineer, David Pierczynski. Script, Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Timothy Gregory. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address? Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.